Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the first live call-in broadcast of Firefly Willows LIVE. Our hosts this week are Tarot by Hisees, Hisee Lutmers, and Rune and Oracle reader, John Carosella. After our weekly roundtable discussion, we're opening up the phone lines to our listeners for live on-air readings. Do you have a concern, or is there a situation you'd like guidance with? Get your question ready and join us by calling 1-646-716-5510 or by using the Skype button on the Firefly Willows LIVE show page at Blog Talk Radio after the show begins broadcasting. Deb Carosella will moderate this week's Firefly Willows Roundtable with Mildred Lynn McDonald, Hisee Lutmers, and Firefly Willows founders John and Deb Carosella. We're excited. Give us a listen. Firefly Willows LIVE, helping you find and shine your inner light. This week's roundtable discussion is Animal Totems, Power Animals, and Guardian Angels in Your Life. Coming right up. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to our roundtable discussion this morning. I'm Deb Carosella, and I'm here with
Mildred Lynn McDonald.
Hi, C. And John Carosella.
Okay, and we're here this morning to talk about animal totems, power animals, guardian angels, and how one knows when one is receiving an invitation from a power animal, from a guardian angel, or when it's just a random act. And what might they want from us if we have created a connection with them?
Well, I can tell you one thing from my life coaching practice. When I would talk to people and introduce tools, the most popular across the board was the concept of the animal totem. And I could never figure out why it was so popular. So what we do is we would sit down and we would look at what animal spoke to the person, and then the person would go out and look to see how the animal showed up in their lives. And I would get tons of email about, I spotted a crow here, or I spotted a buffalo there, or perhaps a flamingo. And on some very deep, truthful level, the concept of having an animal totem really resonated with people. And I thought that maybe it works because it takes the person out of their normal life, and maybe they don't feel so alone.
Oh,
they feel
yeah.
that the universe is creating a connection.
Okay.
So that's in real life how I've seen animal totems used, and I actually use them myself.
I have had enough encounters with animals in the context of relating to them as totems to feel very confident that there's a real spiritual interest on the part of the archetypal animal totem or the animal spirit to work through whatever vehicles, whatever is at hand to create a relationship. In shamanic training, we have this notion that spirits want to help.
Mm-hmm.
They understand what it's like to be on this planet in this reality where things can be hard. And they say we're in this big testing ground, right? This is the life on Earth is an experience that includes pain and suffering. Whereas when you're in the spirit realms, it's very easy to not be in places where you're experiencing pain and suffering. So we're here for a reason, and the spirits understand that it's challenging. And so they're ready to lend a hand if we're able to listen.
And getting back to the phrase you used, the archetype of the power animal, the animal totem, where did the archetype for the spirit of that animal come from, do you think?
Well, I think when you think about the way a deer exists in the world, or the way a dog exists in the world, or the way an eagle exists in the world, or the way a redwood tree exists in the world, everything that has a form or a shape or a way of being characteristic of their spirit, right? There's a reason a redwood tree is shaped the way a redwood tree is shaped. It's because the life force that invests in a redwood tree finds that shape to be expressive of what it's trying to express. Maybe it's obvious, but here's the thing, right? The medicine of the redwood tree or of the dog or of the deer is intrinsic to its way of being in the world.
So over a millennium of human interaction and observation with the natural world, we have created an understanding
Well, no, I would say it the other way. I would say that the medicine of the deer is intrinsic to the deer's DNA. So when we're in relation with the deer, mm-hmm. when we understand its habits, we understand its walk, then we can learn from it, right? If you don't have a common language, mm-hmm. then you can't exchange information, right? So when you learn to be in relation to an animal totem, you in effect are learning to speak its language. To do that, when you start to embrace their way of flowing into their reality and being in their existence, you get to reflect and absorb their medicine. So the deer archetype mm-hmm. is merely our understanding of the way the deer walks in the world. So it's not really something we've created. It's something that is intrinsic to them that we are learning to understand.
Right. I think my use of the term created is more of a way of expressing our understanding of what we have observed over
yes.
time
Peace.
So that
yes.
we can then use our language to describe the archetype, the intrinsic way of being of various animals.
Yeah, I would say that's true.
Okay.
Yeah, I think you could say that instead of created, you might use the word connected. So saying over millennia, humans have learned to or worked to connect with the energy or the spirit of various animals. And just like you meet somebody for the first time and then you get to know them and find out who they are, how they are, etc., it's the same that over time, repeated connection and observation and relationship with the animal and their spirit and that kind of thing mm-hmm. is what has helped to bring about a lot of this symbolism or what we learn, the medicine, if you will, from the animals and that kind of thing. And, well, like there's a different way of seeing them from the ancient Egyptian standpoint because, I mean, the ancient Egyptians were certainly animistic in the sense that they saw spirit and, you know, everything has spirit and that everything is infused with spirit and the divine and things. And so, and of course, the Egyptians are well known for their gods that have animal heads
right.
on human bodies. But it wasn't just a human body with the animal head, they also saw the actual animal as that deity.
Mm.
So if you saw the ibis bird or the baboon, that animal was the god Thoth. It wasn't just a symbol of
right.
or representation of. It was a sense that that animal carries the spirit, the essence of that divine being as the animal itself. And so there you actually get into not just, say, observing or connecting to how that animal walks in the world,
mm-hmm.
you can also look and say that baboon is Thoth, therefore what I know of Thoth can be seen as if I see a baboon, this may be what it is that I am supposed to be receiving as a message or what I'm supposed to be learning or what it's trying to tell me in this particular moment.
Mm-hmm.
And part of what you asked in the question, I would say that for me, how to differentiate between a random occurrence versus something that has more meaning
right.
is either repetition mm-hmm. of appearance, and whether that's physical appearance or appearing in dreams or however they come to you in a meditation, or something showing up that seems so completely random and out of place for where it's showing up. Like if I was walking in downtown Palo Alto
and a flamingo was on the corner.
Right. Or a buffalo.
Like, no, Mildred's around the
So those are usually for me the two kind of criteria that I look for is either repetition of something showing up or it just is so out of character, out of place for that to be here.
Right. So it's anything but an invitation or eye-opening experience, something that is out of character for where you are and in your place. So
right.
I find that people are hungry to connect with nature.
Mm-hmm.
Many suffer from nature deficit syndrome, and the animal totem is a way to connect, as you guys mm-hmm. were sharing. And I'd like to offer for your consideration that exploring animal totems may be a first step to repositioning how you position yourself in the world, your world view. Because a lot of people still hold on to there's man and everything is put in place to serve man. And when you start engaging the possibilities of animals having medicine or messages or something to give you, it creates that connection.
I agree. I think that there is a yearning, that there is an imbalance. The need for connection, the need for understanding our place within this world and within the nature of this world, removing ourselves from the understanding of the other beings that live on this planet with us has weakened us, has diminished us as humans. I believe that you're right, that people are yearning to make a connection because there's something missing in who we are and how we are in this world. But once you start to interact with an animal that you don't have a great deal of familiarity with, it's an eye-opening experience. And I think if people allowed themselves that opening and connecting with something as simple as a rabbit.
Or a mouse, or a bird, or whatever it might be.
Even fish. You'll get to also learn a great deal about yourself, I think. And I appreciate the opportunity that the animal world and the totems and so forth provide us.
So what's interesting is that as you come into communion with a real live animal and your heart and your mind opens, your perception opens to what they have to offer, the fact that they have a personality, then you can imagine, you can see how the indigenous peoples who lived in communion with nature much more than we do today could establish very deep relationships with animals that were in their environment, and then could establish deep spiritual connections to the archetype behind them, because they know them. They would know them. They would understand them so much more completely. So the depth and complexity of the relationship that they could have would be much better, much deeper than we experience. And so you can get a lot out of that.
No, I was just wondering when we lost the connection.
Well, I think as we moved further and further away from nature, you know, for us, we don't have that connection to animals because we go to the store to buy our meat. We don't have a direct connection to the animals and the things where our food is coming from. And I would actually be curious what the history of like hunting is, when hunting became a sport versus something you do to go out and provide for your needs. And that's a very different approach and relationship to the animals and the land and all of that kind of stuff. Plus, there was probably a lot more ritual or sacredness or just the approach even to how you dealt with the animal that you were killing, I think, was
absolutely
very different.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. So the domestication of animals was the beginning of the end of the sacred hunt, because if you kind of grow your own animals, then you don't have to hunt them, right? So the sacredness of the hunt began to become less central to the survival and well-being of the community because you didn't have to hunt anymore for that. Imagine your intimacy with the animals is so deep, and yet you have to go out and hunt and kill them. The relationship you have in order to do that is one of extremely pure heart, which is why the warriors, the hunters in the tribes, had to be very, very clean in order to have a successful hunt, because they were in relationship with these animals, you know, and they didn't have very sophisticated tools. So if you're going to spear a deer or take an arrow into a deer and make it stick, you have to have the deer's cooperation. You know, it was hard work. Or it required consummate skill. Or, more accurately, it required that you be in relation with the deer and that the deer was willing to sacrifice itself for you.
As part of the circle of life.
As part of the circle of life.
And you know, and something a term you've used a number of times, is the archetype of the animal. And I would, you know, archetype really is a term that's very 20th century created.
Yes.
And prior to that, I don't think that even indigenous peoples or whoever, I don't think that they had this catch-all kind of generic understanding for what an animal or an animal totem may have meant, versus it was a very personal relationship and symbolism. Because, you know, a lot of times what we do now is it's like, oh, I saw this animal, so let me go look at the
animal. Or look on the internet.
And see what this animal is supposed to mean.
Mm-hmm.
And it starts to fall into a very kind of generic and rote thing, in the sense that you're not taking the time to sit with that animal. Even if you see it in person, like you see a live animal, I would then encourage somebody to go and do a meditation to meet that animal on the spirit level in order to understand why it was appearing and what it had to say, rather than just looking in a book and saying, oh, here's what it means, so now I've learned my lesson and I can move on.
Yeah, you know, if you're going to look in a book to understand the way the animal walks in the world, understand its biology, understand its habitat, understand its food, understand its social dynamics, that's something that you can get from a book. The spiritual interpretation, the spiritual meaning, consequence, and relationship is not really so easy to get from a book as you've highlighted. So
a book can be a jumping off point. I mean, certainly Ted Andrews is very popular and very well known, and he actually does a good job in his books where he does talk about what the the animal and its habitat and the way it operates and all of that. I would encourage somebody to read that part, not keep reading into what it's supposed to mean. Start making your own associations for that first. Then if you feel like you're still stuck or need a little bit more, go ahead and read what else he has to say for the spiritual meaning.
So as we get ready to wrap up this discussion, I was a little bit curious as to what we as humans can do for our animal totems, for our spirit connections. Do you have any sense or a feeling of what they want from us?
The short answer is compassion, love, and connection. So it's not a one-way street in that they just want to talk to us. They actually want to be in relation with us. And when you're in relationship with somebody, what they want, what delights them, what experiences they enjoy having with you develops, unfolds, and becomes clear.
Where I put it is we come here, our souls, or an aspect of our souls come here to the earth plane, and we have a purpose to fulfill if we choose to do so. And I always feel that spirit guides or animal totems also have a purpose to fulfill, and we have intersection points. And that seems to be what makes sense to me right now.
Okay.
If your belief system allows for the idea of reincarnation, then my view on the process of reincarnation is you have the primordial waters that all existence comes from. And whenever a being comes into existence, and I don't care if it's human, animal, plant, whatever, stone, but when a being comes into existence, it's like taking a glass, dipping it into the primordial waters, and that glass becomes the form that it's going to take for that particular lifetime. And there are traditions where you would have reincarnations in different forms. You could be human in this one and an animal in the next one and that kind of thing. So when I got my dog, the store that I worked at was had a Buddhist leaning. The Buddhist teacher said the dog was very lucky because just by the fact that that dog was coming into the store, being exposed to the Dharma or the Buddhist teachings, it was benefiting that dog's reincarnation in the next lifetime, because most animals don't have that opportunity. And so from a Buddhist standpoint, if you don't hear the Dharma or the teachings, then you can't continue to grow and evolve, improve your reincarnation cycle, if you will.
Okay.
One of the things that the animal wants, and that's why an animal will come into your life, is you suddenly have a responsibility to that animal to help it in its own reincarnation evolution. And so I would never make the decision to put my dog to sleep, because if I did that, I could be cutting short its lesson. And it may have to learn that part of that lesson through the pain or suffering that it has to go through as it goes into death. And I think that's where our responsibility to animals is, not to do any of those things without having a very conscious awareness of why are you here for me and why am I here for you and how am I affecting you through what I am doing, the same that you affect me by what you do when you come into my life as the animal. Because the animal is there to come into my life, perhaps as food. That's the sacrifice it makes in this lifetime. But how I take its life or whether I honor it for its sacrifice makes that a very different experience than, oh, great, it was wrapped in plastic and I can just go to the store and get it and I don't even know where it came from.
Okay. Well, thank you all very much for joining us this morning and for engaging in this discussion. I hope you enjoy the rest of the show. We'll see you again next week.
Thanks, Deb.
Thank you very much.
Thanks. Bye.
Coming up next, our phone lines are open. Hi, C and John are standing by to take your calls. Have your question ready and join in the fun. Skype in or call 1-646-716-5510 at Firefly Willows, LIVE on Blog Talk Radio.
And welcome, everyone. Thank you for joining us today for our very first call-in show. We encourage you to call in at any time. You can either, from the show page, click on the Skype button and come in by Skype if you'd like to do that, or you can call in by phone, and the phone number is 646-716-5510. And what we'll do when you call in, because we just see your phone number, we will just say your area code and then ask your name and where you're from. So just listen for your area code, and when you hear that, you'll know you're live. And we will then take your question, look at some cards, look at some runes, see what it is that Spirit has to say to give you a bit of guidance about that question. Joining me here today, I'm High C from Tarot by High C, and also here in the studio today is John Carosella.
Hi, welcome. How are you doing?
And I tend to work with the tarot. John tends to work with the runes and also with animal totems and animal medicine. And maybe before we take the first caller, John, if you want to just talk a little bit about the tools you'll be using and what your relationship is to them.
Okay. Well, I have an affinity for the runes that are from the Elder Futhark, which is a Norse tradition. Odin, the god of the Norse, the All-Father god, hung from a tree for 9 nights upside down, and at the end of that time saw in a pool beneath him the runes, and he took them up, and they became a great teaching tool for him. So I have an affinity for those, and also the animal totems, which is animal medicine is a very gentle and sincere kind of medicine that exists out there in nature. So it's a very organic kind of medicine, and it's filled with love and compassion. And getting to know the animals and the medicine that they offer, it's a very beautiful thing. It's like the whole world is a grand open zoological garden where you can actually come and visit with the animals directly. So we'll be working with that too.
And one of the benefits of having multiple oracles or multiple divination tools consulted is it can bring in different perspectives. It can give you information in a different way to maybe help you understand better what it is that the message coming through might be for you. It can also sometimes help tie together the information. You hear it in one form and then we pull from another oracle, or and that can help to pull that information together. It suddenly clicks into place. So it's not about repetition of information like, oh, is the tarot really true? So let's look at the runes and see if it says the same thing. It's more about filling out that information and giving it greater depth.
And oftentimes one particular tool will touch your senses, will touch your awareness in a way that unlocks the information and the meaning from the other tools. So while you may hear the information from the tarot first, something that follows might actually be the trigger that unlocks the meaning that is being presented to you through the tarot. So regardless of what order the information comes to you in, try to hold it all on a big canvas and let the meaning percolate up into your awareness, because you never know which one is going to trigger the moment where you realize what's going on.
And I've often found that the runes tend to be very direct, let us say.
Yeah, well, they tend to be a little...
Just to help balance that a little bit, the deck that I'm using is called the Osho Zen Tarot, and it takes a little bit of a softer approach. So we're going to give it to you in both a softer way of bringing the information in, as well as perhaps something a little more direct that just says, this is what you need to hear. because those runes came from the Norse, and the Norse weren't known for their gentleness.
Right.
They wore horns on their head, I think. So I think having said that, we will go to our first caller. Hold on just a second. I will bring that person in. And we're going to area code 415. If you're there, 415, could you give us your name and where you're calling from?
Good morning. My name is Athena, and I'm calling from Alameda, California.
Welcome, Athena. Thanks for calling in.
Thanks for calling, Athena.
Thank you.
So did you call in? Did you have a particular question that you wanted to ask us today to look at?
I do. I recently celebrated a birthday, and so I was curious to know, and I'm also a single gal, so I was wondering what does the coming year hold for me in terms of challenges and opportunities as far as relationships.
All right. Okay. So you're either ready for or hoping for that... like a serious or significant relationship is going to come in, or are you just looking at it in terms of what's my love life look like and I just kind of want to play the field right now?
Well, of course, I'm hoping for a serious relationship, but I'm also just curious to know what does the cards say in terms of this coming year what kind of opportunities will there be, challenges?
Okay.
What do I need to know?
And for you, as well as everyone listening, I also just should have mentioned, we always want to make sure we ask a question we're ready to hear the answer to. This isn't about hearing the answer we want necessarily.
Would you like to rephrase your question, Brad?
Yeah. So I went ahead and started and pulled some cards for you. And the first thing that came up was the Queen of Swords. And that is a card that says it's time to, because swords is about both how we perceive our attitude and think about things as well as our communication. And Queen of Swords is like a no-nonsense woman. So it's time to get serious and focused on both what you're looking for as well as how you're going about looking for it. You can't, with swords, Queen of Swords does not get distracted from what her goal or what she's doing. So she doesn't necessarily say yes to everybody out of the hope that something will come along versus having a very clear idea of what she's looking for and wanting and finding that. And if something doesn't quite fit that criteria, not necessarily pursuing that because she doesn't want to spend the time and energy on something that isn't really about or going to lead to what she's really looking for. Queen of Swords is also about finding your voice. So it's time for you to be very clear and very direct when you're communicating with others about both who you are and what you're looking for. So it's, you don't try to present an image to somebody versus you're very honest and forthright about yourself and putting your true self out there rather than trying to say what you hope might be acceptable to them, which later you're hoping you can kind of revise and they'll be more ready to hear something about you. So be very direct and honest about both who you are, what you're looking for, and really Queen of Swords is not afraid to be herself in front of someone. So don't try to be someone you're not in an attempt to try to please or impress someone from the very beginning. If I looked at some of the other cards that are here, if I'm just looking at timing, then I would say it's probably, well, one, I would pay attention to what happens during the next air sign. So, and actually we're in Gemini right now, which is an air sign, but I would look to the next one, which is going to be Libra. And Libra is like September 20th to October 20th time frame. So really pay attention to what's going on then, like who you meet or relationship opportunities and that kind of thing. If you're doing things before then, this is really your opportunity to start. Think of the swords aspect as creating a checklist. And I'm not a big fan of somebody having a checklist for what they're looking for in a person. But this is a time for you to start reevaluating your checklist and criteria of what is and isn't important for you, as well as what kind of person and the qualities about those people that you want to be in relationship with is and isn't important to you, so that when someone comes along, you have a much quicker and more direct way of evaluating someone or an opportunity. I know I'm talking a lot. Is A, this making any sense to you? And B, is it bringing up any questions or is there something that's not clear about this?
Yes, it makes total sense. I think that it's pretty spot on with kind of where I'm feeling and what I'm doing at this exact moment. No specific questions, though.
The one last thing I'll say before I hand it over to John is another thing that's coming up here is you need to really decide now, so as you move forward, you know what you're looking for. Are you looking for a serious relationship, like a boyfriend? Or are you ready for something that is more permanent commitment, whether that's marriage or whatever that means to you? Is that the kind of thing you're looking for? It's time to be very clear rather than, because people will say it generally, oh, I'm ready for a relationship. Well, there's a lot of different kinds of relationships. And it's time for you to be very clear for yourself so that you can then be clear to other people about what does that mean when you say you're ready for a relationship? What kind of relationship? What do you want that moving towards? you know, do you want just a serious boyfriend you can be going out with for the next 3 years? Do you want something that's long-term minded in terms of commitment or marriage or something like that? So that's also something you want to really be evaluating and assessing right now and making sure you're very clear on for yourself, so you can then be clear for others as to what it is you're looking for as well. So having said all of that, I will now hand it over to John, see what the runes have to say and anything else that he might be consulting to speak to you about this.
So Athena, the rune cast offers the notion of, okay, so the first rune that, came out was Jera, which is the rune of the harvest. But so that's good news. But what comes along with the harvest is the notion of a period of time. In other words, you don't harvest what you haven't sown. You can't reap what you haven't sown. So it indicates that there is a pot of gold at the end of the rainbow, so to speak. There is a harvest at the end of the season, but that there is a season of development first. And the next rune was Kano, which is the rune of opening, followed by Otila, which is the rune of separation. So what I think this indicates is that there is a period for you of opening yourself up and shedding parts of yourself that no longer serve you as you come to understand who you truly are. And of course, in a relationship, you know, when folks come to me and ask or say they want to meet their true love or they want to find their soulmate, one of the first things that always has to be done is the dismembering of the self. Because if you met your soulmate when you weren't really truly who you are, there's a good chance you won't actually stick. You won't recognize that person as your soulmate. So there's a period of deep introspection and cleansing that often has to come before finding true love, so to speak. Now, that's not always the case. You can find your soulmate and connect with them and oftentimes have a very challenging relationship until you both go through that process. But oftentimes, and it seems like especially now, we have to come to a clear understanding of who we are as individuals first. And so this seems to be what's indicated by the rune cast. So there's a period of self deconstruction and shedding of old skin, old patterns that don't serve you, and finding and doing what you love. And when you do that, you tend to find yourself in situations populated by people that are attractive to you because they are also doing what they love. And you're doing things that you love, that you collectively love altogether. So the opportunity to find a relationship, to engage in a fruitful relationship increases when you're doing that. Then the last two comments I'll make that the runes have to offer. One is not to be surprised by a period or a set of circumstances where there's resistance or challenge. And that's just a natural part of, as you probably know and I've experienced in the dating scene, you know, you catch a bunch of fish that you have to throw back in the water. You know, not to be discouraged by that, but to view each experience of that nature as an opportunity to investigate yourself, investigate aspects of your character, perhaps blind spots, and learn a little bit more about, again, more about who you are, and behaviors are constructive for you, and what behaviors are creating challenges for you. And finally, there is the notion of a journey. Now, this might be a physical journey. You might go on a cruise. You might go on a safari or something like that. Or it might be something more more emotional, spiritual, conceptual, where you end up going through a period of
a journey of self-exploration or self-discovery, and in that process, you find your harvest. So that's what the runes have to say for you. Any thoughts on that?
Well, and I think that just corroborates some of what the Tarot was saying in the sense that between now and that Libra time frame, that late September into October time frame, that's your period for doing some of that self-assessment work. And then the fact that the first rune that came up is the harvest also puts us into fall. And Libra really is when we're moving into into the fall season. So right. I think that fall season seems to be both very key to when you may be connecting with or having that come into your life, as well as the harvest, meaning you'll be able to harvest the results, the work that you're doing for yourself.
So get out there and till that soil and pull the weeds.
Yes.
And make my list.
That's right.
make the list not just about your ideal partner, but about your ideal you.
Mm.
And look at that list often and trim it and retune it as you get to know who you truly are and find the hidden weeds in your own garden.
Yes.
Very good advice.
So thank you very much for calling in. Hopefully that gave you a little bit of guidance today.
Oh, definitely. And I have a lot to think about now.
Excellent. And we would welcome you to continue listening if you would like.
And get back in touch with us if you have questions or you want additional clarification along the way.
Yeah.
Great. Thank you very much.
All right.
Okay, take care.
Thanks.
All right. Ciao.
So we'll go to our next caller. And who is that? So we're looking at area code 530. So if you're calling from area code 530, could you tell us your name and where you're calling from, please?
Hello. Hi, my name is Sharon.
Hello, Sharon.
Hi, Sharon.
Hi, I was just kind of startled. I was listening and doing other things, and I didn't think I was going to get through so quickly. So,
well,
good morning.
Here you are.
It's your day.
Here I am.
That 530 area code looked very, very promising, so we figured we'd go for it.
Oh, awesome. I'm in Chico.
Okay.
Yeah, small town outside.
I think California, people that aren't in California.
I'm sorry?
I was just saying, which Chico is in California, for those that are listening that aren't in California might not know where Chico is.
Oh, yeah, no, California. It's a beautiful day today. Actually, my question has to do with, I guess, career focus. That's kind of what I've been dealing with for the last little bit, and I was just needing some clarification if what I'm doing and the path that I'm trying to go down is truly correct, or if I need to, you know, rethink my career goals and ambitions, because things just seem to be, you know, a door seems to open, but then it closes rather quickly, and I've been out of work now for 2 years, and I keep plugging away and plugging away at what I want to do, and it just seems to not really be working. So I'm just wondering if I should maybe reevaluate what I'm doing.
So I'm going to say two things here. First, I'm going to talk about something astrological that's going on. We're in the middle of a Venus retrograde, mm-hmm. and that started in mid-May and goes basically till about the end of June, beginning of July. Okay. This is a period for both looking at our relationship, whether it's to people or things, and reevaluating our relationships and whether they really have value and worth to us, if they're still worth the time and energy we're putting into them. So here we could be looking at taking time to reassess or reevaluate your relationship to the kind of work you keep trying to pursue and whether it's worth putting energy and time into that when it doesn't seem to be going anywhere. It's also, Venus retrograde is also a period for reevaluating our values. So what's really valuable to us, what's really important to us. And there is an aspect of Venus retrograde that can often bring relationships from the past back into our life in some way. So it may be time to revisit some kind of work that you did in the past that maybe now holds some promise or maybe now you're ready for, or that you moved away from, but now it's time to say, maybe I can go back to doing something like that and make that more of a focus at this point.
Okay.
And Venus tends to go in a cycle of 8 years. So sometimes we can use the 8-year cycle. If we look back for right now, we would look back to 2004. to look at what were we doing, what was going on then, what was important to you work-wise then, and whether there is something from that period that might inform the direction to consider or the kind of work for you to be looking at right now.
No, that's not to say that you would choose that necessarily.
Right.
To reflect on, right?
Well, right, because you could look back and say, I was doing this kind of work in 2004, and I really loved that. And I haven't done that for the past 6 years when I started working in this particular area. So even though you don't go back to the exact same thing, you look at that and say, what was it that I really liked about that I really enjoyed in that kind of work? And maybe I need to re-explore that kind of work again.
Okay.
And the cards that I've pulled up, one thing that the cards seem to say here is, first of all, yes, it's time to reevaluate or reassess what you keep trying to do, and that we need to shift or change that in some way. We have the reversed judgment card, which says we keep trying to make something happen or keep revisiting over and over again the same idea or the same decision, but we're not listening to the message of why does it not work every time versus maybe if I just do it this way, maybe if I just do it this time, it'll work. And, we don't have a definition of sanity where you keep trying to do the same thing over and over again, expecting a different result. And also the King of Pentacles reversed comes up, which says that it's time to start moving into something. Pentacles is about the work that we do. And the reversal, meaning it's upside down, says that it's time for us to start considering or moving into a new form of work or doing something new or in a different way, rather than trying to just stay in what we've been doing or how we've been doing it. And the other cards that are here, I would say, I think a very key time for you this summer, you're going to see things really start to take off if you've done that reevaluation and you start approaching it differently and or pursuing something slightly different based on what you've decided you really want to be doing that may be different from what you've been trying to make happen. So, I think it'll happen very quickly when you start to do that. And two, especially around the sixth week of summer, which is around the end of July, which actually makes sense because we'd come out of the Venus retrograde period and you'd have that opportunity to say, now that I've reassessed this or made some different evaluations of things, I can start really pursuing or moving forward on that. But one of the things that's really key here with the Knight of Wands coming up is that once you start going in the right direction or pursuing what it is that you've realized is really valuable or important to you, you'll see things opening up and happening very quickly rather than it taking a lot of time for that to start manifesting in some way. So I think that's a really good indication. It's just based on you taking this particular period, say for the next month or so, to start reevaluating and reassessing what do you really want to be doing, what's really valuable to you, where is it valuable and worthwhile for you to put your time and energy in terms of the work that you do in the world. And then when you have that sense, you start pursuing that and you'll see things really opening up and moving forward quickly. Because the Knight of Wands is about things happening quickly, and the Six of Wands, which is indicating the sixth week of summer, but it's the card of success and victory. So I'm not concerned about you being successful in that. It's just that you have to be moving in the right direction or pursuing the right thing, and then that success will come very quickly or very soon once you start moving in that direction.
Excellent. Yeah, because I always feel like I'm on the cusp of something, you know? Like, I have that energy about me where it's just like I'm just right there. Like, I can almost see it. I can almost feel it. I can almost touch it. But then there's, like, one thing that, like, blocks it, and I always just get to that point of, like, it's almost within reach and then shuts down. So that's kind of nice to hear, because I'd always feel that and I just thought I was going crazy.
And I think the one other card that's here is the Fool card, and it's in the position of what's your biggest fear or challenge. And the Fool is all about being able to take that final step off the cliff edge, to take that leap of faith into the unknown. So I think part of it is you may have held back from trusting yourself to step into something brand new or to take a chance or a leap of faith with something. And once you're willing to do that, rather than trying to hold on to the old that you're familiar with, you're going to see things open up and move forward very quickly. So I think that's the edge that you feel yourself at, where you get up to a certain point, then all of a sudden it doesn't happen. It's like you get up to the edge, but then I'm afraid of taking that leap of faith or taking that chance because it's unknown. And when you're willing to do that, you'll see that things to really progress or happen quickly.
Oh, excellent. Great. Thank you. Good. All right. I feel good. Thank you. That's awesome.
So now we'll just see what the runes had to say. The Norse might be a little more, you know, direct with you, so I'm prepared.
Well, okay, so Sharon, the runes corroborate much of what Hysiea has just shared with you. The first rune is Othala again. For you, it's separation, shedding of old ways, old skins, getting a little bit more clarity about who you really are. It's very important here. The next that's the first goal. First order priority is get clear. See if you can find your blind spots. They're often hard to do, but there is a period of shedding old ways that's important. Then the next two runes are interesting together. One is Gebo, which is the rune of partnership, and the other is Perth, which is the rune of mystery or a hidden matter or an initiation. Now,
okay,
if you're familiar with the notion of an initiation is really the kind of thing where you don't know what's going to happen,
mm-hmm,
but you allow yourself to participate in it anyway. And
right,
when you're on the other side of it, you're forever changed,
mm-hmm,
which is in a sense kind of like the card, the Fool, where
right,
you have
right,
the leap into the unknown. Now, this one's a little, you know, the Fool and Perth are not exactly the same, but they're giving you the same idea that you have to take a step into the darkness in the sense of an initiation, or off
mm-hmm
the cliff in the sense of the Fool, to find yourself on the other side. And the runes are saying that this is not something that you need to do by yourself, that
okay,
support a partnership in of some kind. But maybe it's a training, maybe it's a community, something like that, where you are, you know, you engage in something that with a team or with a partner that can give you some support through this. And then the final two runes that wanted to speak relate to the completion of that new beginning, right? Once you get on the other side of that initiation, run with it. Make sure that you actually take it to completion, and you will go through the gateway to your new success.
No, that all sounds actually rather fitting. And my 40th birthday is coming up in a couple of weeks. I'm a Gemini.
Since you know that,
and so
40 is the new 29, right?
Yeah. Yeah, my friend and I actually celebrate our 29th birthday every year for the last few years now. So, yeah.
The 11th annual celebration. What's the actual month and day of your birthday?
June 17th.
Okay.
That's right before the solstice.
Yes.
Good time to celebrate.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Because I use the birthday to calculate a year card, which goes from birthday to birthday, which is the overall energy or lesson of a particular year. And so you're getting ready to go into a 10-year. And 10 is a number of transition and fulfillment and change, because it's the end of a phase or cycle as you move into and transition into a new cycle. So it's leaving behind the old, taking what you've learned or gained from that and moving into the new. And 10 corresponds to the Wheel card, which is a card of major change. So
mm-hmm
once you may see a lot of changes, and it's like being caught in a whirlwind of activity. So you may see a lot of changes either all of a sudden starting to happen or feel you're caught up in that. But it's also
right,
a really good year to be setting the wheel in motion, to be initiating major change. So this is when you have the opportunity to change your direction career-wise in a major way, in a way you may realize is best, right, or valuable for you. And it's also when you will start to see a lot of changes happening, where suddenly everything, activity starts picking up. So when you say you've been out of work for 2 years and that kind of thing, you're moving into a year. You had to complete this phase to figure out what wasn't right or working for you and what do you
mm-hmm
want to be focusing on doing now. And this is the year you're getting ready to go into where those kind of changes, you'll see the results from some of the changes you've been making, as well as it's time to start setting in motion and making those kind of changes. So, again, I think you'll start to see things happen fairly quickly as long
Excellent
as you're willing to go with change rather than trying to hold on to the old or keep things the same and familiar, because you have fear or lack that trust of the initiation, of stepping into the new and into the unknown?
I'm definitely open to change and relocation, and I like challenging myself in those areas. So even though I am afraid, I do like taking that step because I never want to have a regret of, oh, well, what if I, you know, what if I would have done this and I didn't, and, I, you know, all these things could have happened. So I definitely like to, you know, like the fool, take my foot off and take that leap of faith and see where I end up. So far it's
like,
worked.
Do you like roller coasters?
I do.
Okay, so when that when you get to the top and it drops down, you feel that vertigo in your tummy.
Mm-hmm.
Well, mm-hmm. This will be a good year for that feeling.
Excellent. Well, thank you guys so much for clearing up so much stuff for me. I really appreciate it.
You're welcome.
Thank you very much for calling in.
Thanks. Have a great day, guys.
You too.
Bye.
I didn't know that we were going to be doing roller coaster medicine, you know.
But, you know, hey, the roller coaster totem.
We get medicine from wherever we can.
That's right. So we'll go to our next caller who's calling from area code 408. So if you're calling from 408, could you tell us your name and where you're calling from, please? Hello, 408? Anyone calling from 408? All right, then. So we'll try area code 323. So if you're calling from area code 323, could you tell us your name and where you're calling from, please?
Oh, yes. Hi. This is Camille calling you from Alameda, California.
Oh, hello, Camille. Hi, Camille. And California apparently is in need of all sorts of guidance today.
I guess so.
So do you have something in particular that you'd like to ask about today for us?
Yes. Okay. The romantic potential between me and James, what do you see there? Illuminate that situation, please.
Okay. And is this someone that you're actually in relationship with now, or you're wondering whether this is going to develop into something?
I am wondering if it will develop into something. He is someone I used to, I'll be honest. He was a lover from 5 years ago. We parted ways, and he showed up about a year later, and I was already back in a relationship with someone else, and I sent him off. And 4 years later, on May 4th, right during Venus retrograde and but before my Jupiter return, he showed up again. And so now it's just, 3 weeks later, it's like something has happened between us, and we are in touch, and I'm wondering what is going on, because listening to him, it's 5 years later, I had to cry over something because I realized that, I know there's something there. I realized something about myself in this process and what's going on.
So first of all, because you brought up the Venus retrograde, sometimes what we find is, in this case, it's actually very literal in the sense that someone from the past has come back into your life or a relationship has come back into your life. But it also can be that a similar kind of circumstance or issue comes back into our life, and we have to see whether we have learned the lesson and now things are different and it's worth trying to revisit something, or whether things have not changed, whether it's the situation or the people or whatever. So you really
right.
have to look at this and say, compared to 3 or 4 years ago, for whatever the reasons were that the relationship separated, are the issues still there, either in terms of your individual growth and places that you have or haven't come to, or the dynamic between the two of you? Is it just like revisiting the old, or does it feel as if there is something new that has changed or shifted since then? So you really want to pay attention to that. And I think that part of what this is perhaps triggering for you, the card that came up for you in this is the Strength card. And one is, I think that you have grown and you're a much stronger person than you were even 3 or 4 years ago when you may have been involved with this person originally.
Right.
And that strength means that you have the courage to be yourself, to ask for what you want and need in a relationship, to not lose yourself to a person or a relationship, and to stand up to that when it's not necessarily in alignment with what you feel is right or what you're looking for from a relationship. So don't sacrifice or compromise that strength by giving into a moment of weakness because it's somebody from the past, because it's like, oh, well, maybe this can work this time. But if it feels extremely right to you and you know that you can't lose yourself, as well as evaluating the other person and saying, have they grown and changed in some way so they seem more ready, then this would be something to try to perhaps develop. The card that came up for him is the Two of Swords. And on the one hand, Two of Swords is a card of indecision. So there's a sense that this may be someone who isn't really sure of exactly what they want or what they're looking for right now.
Mm-hmm.
So they don't know if they want this kind of relationship. They don't know if they want to get back into a relationship with this person from their past. There's a willingness to explore it, but you have to realize that you're maybe dealing with someone who hasn't made a decision. Therefore, they could go either way right now. And
I know that. Yeah,
and that could be very challenging for you because you're ready for something. And if you're then handing all of the cards over into their hands and saying, now the power is up to you, whatever your decision is, that's actually a weakness because it's saying, I'm letting you make all of the decisions for where this goes or what happens in this relationship, rather than you asserting yourself saying, this is what I want, this is what I'm looking for, this is what I need. Are you ready to make that kind of a choice or commitment to pursue or develop or grow something like that?
Okay.
The relationship card is the Two of Pentacles. And that can be a promising card, but it's a card that represents taking things moment by moment. So you want to really take this one step at a time. It's like, let's see where each of us are at compared to the issues we had previously and figure out if that's something we can now move forward with. And then Pentacles is a suit of earth, so it's taking things slowly, which is why it's moment by moment. So don't rush into anything and make sure that you maintain a sense of balance. If you feel as if this is either out of balance or something about how it's progressing is throwing you or your life into imbalance, that's a clear sign that this is not something to be investing your time and energy in at this point.
Mm-hmm.
If it goes, it's like being on a boat. If the boat's going along smooth sailing, even though it's going along slowly, that's fine. We'll get to our destination. If we're constantly having to paddle to change direction or correct the course, then we don't want to be putting that kind of energy into something. So that's how you can kind of evaluate whether this is something even worth putting your energy into instead of handing it over to the other person to simply decide what happens, where it goes, and that kind of thing. So I think that the biggest challenge here is the card for him, which is the Two of Swords, because he hasn't necessarily come to a point where he has made a decision for himself as to what he's really looking for or wanting at this point in his life.
Right.
And that's not a very balanced way. That'd be like being in the boat saying, okay, paddle on this side so we can go to the left. And then you're like exhausting yourself to do that. And then suddenly like, okay, now paddle on the left so we can go to the right. And you're like, but I thought we were going to the left.
Right.
And so
right.
We want you to say, I'm going to the left. If you don't want to go there, then you can jump out and swim. So that's how you want to kind of look at and approach this. It's not something to just throw yourself into, and especially if you feel as if the course is constantly being readjusted for where or how the relationship is going based on what the other person keeps changing and then changing their mind again and then changing their mind again, I would encourage you to perhaps back out of that, because this reevaluation of the Venus retrograde period says, is that really worth your time, your energy, and your heart to be putting yourself through that?
Right.
So hopefully that made a little bit of sense, and we'll see what additional information the runes have to say about that, which hopefully can help to flesh that out a little bit.
Great.
Okay, so the first rune that wanted to speak on this topic was Manas, which is the rune of the self. Now, ultimately it comes down to who are you? You know, you ask yourself, who am I? And, you know, this echoes what the Torah was offering you and what Haisi said. You have to be clear about who you are and what you want. And, you know, the question is, how clear are you? I think, I also did asked the animal cards, the animal medicine as well. And, I got the dragonfly for you, which is again, know thyself, knowing oneself, being clear about who you are. So how do you feel about that? Let me just ask you that. Do you feel like you know who you are?
Yes,
you do.
Yes, I do.
Okay. So then the runes would say, there's a bit of a mystery, right? You also received Perth, the rune of mystery, something hidden going on, an initiation of sorts. And then the rune Jera, which is the rune of the harvest. But again, it talks to reaping what you have sown. So sowing is important. And you can ask yourself, you know, what have I been sowing? Or what have I been sowing over the last year or so that it might be ready to reap now? Or you can think about, you know, the transition through Venus retrograde. As you examine what Venus retrograde is offering you, what you will harvest down the road a bit. And the good news is that down the road a bit, the rune is joy.
Oh, good. Okay.
So I guess, you know, my suggestion is that whether it's James or not is unclear and maybe is the wrong question. Perhaps the right question is, can there be something fruitful to be harvested from James reappearing in my life? And that the answer to that is yes. Right?
Oh, good. Yeah.
But it doesn't necessarily mean it's with James, but it does mean that James is potentially a catalyst for experiencing the kind of change in your awareness of self and self in relation to others that can bring you to a place of joy. Now, it may be that it is James, right?
Mm-hmm.
But more importantly, James is there as a catalyst. And maybe he's also the harvest, but the runes are being cagey about that.
Well, no, to be honest with you, I don't want to hear if we are going to be happily ever after or not, because I think that would be too much for me at this time. I can be honest and say that we were both two young, carefree people at the time of the start of the relationship. He was turning 26, I was turning 31. And then as the years progressed, now that we've reconnected, I know that my daughter is 5.5 months. I am not with her father. And his daughter is turning 2 years. So we're both coming into this with infant. I have an infant daughter. He has a taller daughter. And so we are different people, first and foremost, because we are now both parents. And I know that when he came back, he says, I can offer you friendship, but not that other, meaning, I don't know, relationships or sex or whatever it was. And then he heard my voice. And then he came over, and next thing I know, he's remembering all the things, the times, and every conversation we ever had. And I'm going, wow, I didn't know you were paying attention to me that closely. But apparently, he remembers down to the letter things that I said 5 years ago. Oh, my.
Well, that's a beautiful gift to receive, isn't it?
Yes, it is. Yes, it is. So I already know he is kind of on the fence. He's not, I don't know what has happened to him over the course of time, but I can tell you that he seems unsteady when it comes to the prospect of relationship. and I didn't ask why. I'm not pushing for one. The door is open, but I'm not, you know, my whole concern now is caring for myself and my daughter. So,
well, one of the other animal medicine cards that I received on your behalf is the horse, which is strength and freedom. And so I think it's important that you both understand the strength in freedom and the freedom that comes with strength. And now you're both living that because you're both single parents.
Right.
And you know that strength is essential and you also have your freedom. And, you know, freedom doesn't mean freedom to be alone necessarily. Freedom, it means the freedom to choose the relationships that one engages with and in, and choose the responsibilities that you shoulder. So be mindful of the horse, both of you. And if he's open, I would suggest that you offer him some reflections on Venus retrograde too, because it sounds like he's in the full magic of Venus retrograde. Recapitulating, re-examining, reliving and revitalizing his experience that he had with you, that's an important asset and tool for his growth.
Okay. That makes sense. All right.
And I think we see that in the Tarot cards, because the Strength card for you says you've come to a point where you're very clear in who you've become, what you're looking for, what you need. He suddenly is, like you said, on the fence. It's like at first he says he's not ready for a relationship. He just wants to be friends. Then all of
right.
a sudden talks to you and he wants this, that, and the other. So in this instance, we need you to be the strong one and make the right decisions and do the right thing and not allow things to become something that starts to be too much of a juggle, too much of a burden when it's not right or not what is really wanted.
Now, the last piece is, the last medicine card was the lizard, which is about visioning. So have you given yourself the gift of deeply imagining what your ideal future is?
I am in the process of that now. Yes.
Okay, good, good.
I have written and revised and keep rewriting. Yeah, I am.
Good. Okay, so that the cards indicate that this is timely, and allow yourself to envision and indulge in your vision, the scenario, the perfect scenario, including your relationships scenario. And again, don't tie that to James necessarily, but don't exclude him either. Just allow it to be what you envision it to be, and give yourself the visceral experience of what that would be like using your vision.
Okay.
And don't make any final decisions during Venus retrograde, because oftentimes things we think we want or things we think are worth the price we're paying, when Venus goes direct, we realize, oh, you know what? I don't know that it was really worth that, or that doesn't really have the same value to me now that I thought it did in the moment. So
right.
don't rush into a decision and use this period to make that reassessment.
That
so thank you.
Thank you very much.
You're welcome.
Thanks for calling.
Thanks for calling in, and enjoy the rest of your holiday weekend.
I am.
Okay, great. Excellent.
So we're going to our next caller.
Area code 408, and then the first three numbers are 219. Are you there? 408, and then the first three numbers, 219. All right, then.
Hello?
Hello.
Hello.
Are you 415?
What's your area code?
408.
And the first three numbers, 219?
Yes.
Okay. We're having a slight technical issue with our studio at the moment. Just bear with us. We want to make sure that we're doing this nice and clean. Are you there, 408?
Yes, this is 408.
Okay. And what's your name?
Mia.
Mia.
Mia. And where are you calling from?
Los Gatos, California.
Los Gatos. All right. And do you have a question for us that you'd like us to look at?
I do. It is a relationship question, and basically I'd like to find out further information about whether or not a specific relationship I have in mind has, I guess, from that perspective, played itself out, per se, on the relationship level, and then also, like, have I and have, you know, I guess both sides learned the lessons we're supposed to learn from it, and, you know, or is there kind of more to be had from it or not? Can we let it go?
So, right. So the question, it's a paraphrase, is it done? Has it run its course? And
Has it run its course?
And whether it has or hasn't, have we actually learned what the opportunity was there to learn?
Yes.
Okay.
So first, looking at the cards that came up here, the first thing I would say is both of you have grown in an extreme way through this relationship. So when you ask about the lessons, et cetera, there's a sense that both of you have really grown and learned a lot of what this relationship needed to be about for each of you. And I think there's still a little bit left for what you can get out of this relationship. You know, I wouldn't necessarily see it last perhaps beyond the fall. So there's, and I think I would go back to what we were saying with the previous caller as well, which is, during this Venus retrograde period, not to make any final decisions about something, because we may realize later that isn't truly what we value or what's important. So I wouldn't want you to necessarily end the relationship right now.
Okay. Well, actually, I don't know if it makes a difference for you from your perspective, but it's at least from the way I view it, it's for a short amount of time, at least, pretty much been over with. But it doesn't feel completely over with, and I'm not sure if I can be, you know, can shut it down internally as well.
I think that's because it's kind of like there's still a little bit, even if you could just remain friends for a little while, there's still something left in the relationship that you need to experience in order to bring about that closure within yourself for it. It is nearing a sense of wanting to be closed, but the reason why you may be having trouble having that closure for yourself is because there's still something there. Think of it like if you had an apple tree in the yard, and you go out and it's a really nice day and you pick the apples and things, and you realize that you're really tired and you need to stop, but there's still a few apples left on the tree. This is like saying it's worth going out another day and continuing to pick the rest of the apples, rather than leaving a few things left on the tree that end up kind of just rotting and falling away, when there's still something juicy and valuable to get from them by just putting in a little bit more effort. Once you pick those final apples, then it's done, and we wait for the next season. We wait for the next thing to come to our life. So there's still a very valuable reason for you to stay in contact or maintain some form of a relationship with this person, at least for another few months. And I would say, just think of the fall, because that's that harvest time. That's when you kind of bring things to completion and you're able to see or experience or take the full fruits from what it is that it has had to offer you.
Okay.
The main card that came up here for the relationship is the Queen of Pentacles, and queens are the mother figure, so it's all about giving birth to something. So there is a sense that this relationship is really birthing something in each of you and has really brought about something significant for each of you, but we don't want to have a premature birth. We want to allow for the full gestation of what it has to offer. So if you can just maintain some form of relationship with this person for another bit of time, then that's going to help you to realize what some of those things that'll help bring that final closure within yourself would be for you.
So
hopefully this is answering what it is that you were looking for in your question.
Yeah, I think so. And well, you mentioned, until fall, like, basically, I mean, do you see, basically, like, is a closure imminently, you know, in the near future or not?
Well, yes, because there's that sense of, you know, giving it a little bit more time brings it to full fruition, which means you have the sense of closure because you've recognized and experienced everything it has to give you and to give each of you in its fullness, rather, you know, rather than picking an apple too soon and it's not quite as sweet or ripe.
Okay.
This is going to allow you to be able to pick this and be done with it at its full ripeness so that you get everything out of it, all the juice out of it that you can, and you're able to move forward without feeling like there was some, you know, unanswered questions or something unexperienced or something like that.
Okay, so there's something left in it, just mostly not a whole lot.
Yes, something left in
okay.
it, and it's not about reengaging like a love relationship aspect of it, but maintaining contact, and still there's something to get from continuing, say, a friendship. I mean, I'll actually be very literal here because of all the pentacles come up. Actually, maintaining a form of physical relationship may actually be part of what you have left to get from this, because there's still a comfort level. So it's like friends with benefits, if you will. But there's still something from engaging in that kind of relationship that is very valuable for each of you, at least for just a few more months, to bring about that sense of closure and getting everything that this relationship has to offer you.
Okay.
So now we'll see what the runes have to say.
Okay, so the first rune that I wanted to speak was Perth. Again, the rune of initiation, or exploring a hidden matter. So it won't be obvious what it is that is left in this relationship for you to harvest. But the next three runes are very telling about the benefit of hanging in there. The first is Kano, which is the rune of opening. And I think the rune that follows it is the rune of movement or progress. And the rune that follows that is the rune of strength. So if you can imagine, there may be something actually, although it may not be about a long lived experience, or, you know, that the relationship continues on for a long time, there is a significant harvest to be had. And it starts with you being open. There's some aspect of yourself in relationship to this person, and then in relationship to the relationship, right? How do you see yourself in relationship, where if you are willing to be more open in some aspect of yourself, your personality, your life, it will lead to significant progress, and that progress will result in you becoming very much significantly stronger. So there's an opportunity for really solid benefit to being a little bit more open. And you know, vulnerable might be the word to use, but I won't say it. I won't assert that solidly. Openness and vulnerability aren't always the same thing, but looking carefully at yourself and seeing where you are, where you have your defenses up, where you are holding back or blocking flow in the relationship, if you can loosen that up, there's a big reward there.
Okay.
And then subsequent to that, there's three other runes that I wanted to speak. One is the rune of passing through the gateway, the rune of the journey, and the rune of birth or rebirth. So you're looking at a very significant relationship, a relationship that has had a significant impact on you. It is preparing you to go into transition and give you the opportunity for rebirth. So all of that's, it sounds, you know, sounds good. Sounds like you guys got a lot out of this relationship, and there's one solid piece left to harvest that will be a bit mysterious for you, but will be facilitated by your examining
where you can be more open.
Okay.
Is that helpful?
Yeah, I think it is, actually. So it sounds like whatever lesson I am to be learning, it's I'm learning it, but I haven't quite completed that.
Right. And so just dig around and see where you might be resistant or closed or defensive, and just be more expansive. Open yourself up a little bit and let what happens happens. Let what happens happen as long as you feel strong. You know, strength is a big, strength is important, right? Because we can encounter a lot of bumps and a lot of turbulence when we're strong.
Sure.
And bumps and turbulence are actually very useful for learning how to navigate bumps and turbulence, right?
Right.
So you know, it's good to be strong. And you will get strength out of it. You will become even stronger as a result.
Okay, great. Well, thank you very much.
Oh, thanks for calling, Mia.
Okay, yeah, bye-bye.
Thank you. Bye-bye. So we'll go to our next caller. Who is? Area code 323. Are you there?
Oh, no. This is still the previous caller.
Oh, okay. Hi, Camille.
We're kind of hanging out listening to you.
Okay.
Yeah, let's try that one.
Area code 650 with the first three numbers of 333. Are you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, okay. So could you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Sure, Vince, and I'm calling currently from Davis, California.
Currently? Well, are you on the move? Are you on the run?
I'm actually on happening? The road. Yes, I am. Yes, I am. Greetings, gentlemen.
Greetings. So do you have a question for us?
Yes. We'll go with my life calling. What is my mission here?
Oh, my goodness. No pressure, I see.
Yeah, really. Thanks for something so immediate and small. So I think the way that I'll approach that actually is to look at how and what do you need to be doing to be following and fulfilling your life path and purpose right now.
Yes.
Does that sound okay?
We'll go from there.
All right. Do you have a sense of what your life calling is, or are you still feeling as if you're trying to figure that out?
I have a sense of what it is, but yet still trying to figure it out. I do know that it's going towards the service of others, and how so, I'm not too sure, but I think I'm getting there.
And what's your birth date?
5/12/79.
Okay. So I use your birth date to calculate a life card, which is the overall energy lesson path for a lifetime. And I'll look at it two ways based on the deck that I use. First of all, it comes out to a 25. And in this deck that I use, which is correlates to Egyptian deities and things, the 25 is the sacred element of air. And it's represented by the ibis bird, which it looks like a heron. An ibis has like a long beak. And the ibis is actually the sacred animal of the god Thoth. And Thoth is the god of communication, of divination, of language, of wisdom. But he brought language from the divine realm or the spirit realm to humans. So one thing that this would tell us is that part of your life calling is to not ground yourself so strongly that you get stuck, but you're willing to spread your wings and take flight when it'd be like when the spiritual or the divine wind comes along and wants to raise you up to the next level or the next stage. Also with air, you get into things like what can't be seen but can be felt. Think of wind. So part of your life calling may be to either access or to bring things into being for others that they can't necessarily see, communicate with, or it'd be like being in a room and you can feel something that somebody else can't, and then you're able to kind of tell them what you're feeling, which somehow has resonance or bearing for them as well. And Thoth, of course, is the god of communication. So it's about you bringing communication or messages. You want to be willing to not silence or hold your voice back for what information, communication, or messages may want to come through you. It's not just about you having to know what to say, but it's also like that wind, that divine breath that kind of comes in and fills your lungs, which then gives you the voice or the message to pass on, even though you may not even know where it's coming from necessarily. Just the awareness that you have to give it wings in order to allow it to take flight and to come out into the world.
So just so you know, that was what Moses went through. He never knew what to say. And so when he went up to God sent him to Pharaoh, he never knew what he was going to say. But he went anyway and just waited for the divine wind to inspire him. I figured I'd put a little pressure back on you since you put so much pressure on us. So
yes, in a way. So it's kind of like channeling from the divine to others, in a sense, service to others and inspiring them to do whatever it is that they wish to do with their lives. I understand. I get it.
Okay.
I get
And then I pulled some specific cards to look at, you know, what you need to be doing right now. And, you know, the first thing that came up is the Nine of Pentacles reversed. And that shows us Nine of Pentacles, like in this deck, is called ripeness. So it's upright. It would be a card of seeing tangible results from the work and effort that we're putting into something. And it's a card of self-sufficiency, independence, self-sustainability. So the fact that it came up reversed can show us that either we are trying to do things that are really not where we need to be putting our efforts and energy, so we're not really seeing results from that. And here, because it's a suit of pentacles, it can be very literal in the sense that it's the work that we do, like the job that we have or the environment that we live in. There's something about those kind of things that aren't very conducive or aren't really a worthy focus of your time and energy, and maybe taking away from what your life calling is. And next to that is the Sun card reversed. And the Sun card is when we're living out in the world in full brilliance. So it's like I'm shining in the world for who I am and what I have to offer it. And with it being reversed, it's a card of fear, which says I'm afraid to step into that spotlight. I'm afraid to be seen for this, or I'm afraid for people to see this part of myself. So we're holding ourselves back or keeping ourselves in shadow rather than stepping out into the full light and brilliance of what we have to offer and who we can be. So the fact that both of these are reversed is about overcoming the fear of stepping into this, allowing this to be who you are by you accepting that for yourself, and then saying, I'm now going to show this and put this out to the world. And if people accept that, like that, love that, great. And if they don't, great, because we're not going to worry about trying to please everyone, and we're not going to worry about the people that aren't accepting of it to cause us to step away or step off of what our life path or our life calling is. So, questions about that?
I understand. It seems like we're in parallel with that thought. And I appreciate your insight, both of you. I'm very thankful.
So just a couple of other thoughts here for you, Vince.
Yes.
The animal totem that came up for you was the elephant. Now, think about the elephant. Mighty big mojo.
Yes.
This is an animal that has no natural predators. But yet it's gentle. Right, it doesn't have a bad attitude. It just comes out into the world, and lives its truth. And
is beautiful and intelligent and loving and, you know, family oriented and all those things, all those attributes that we admire. And it does so with a tremendous amount of grace, even though it's huge. Right? So,
absolutely.
So think about the benefit of having the elephant as an animal totem for you, as animal medicine. Think of the confidence that you can carry, and think of the gentleness that you can carry in the presence of that confidence. Then there were three runes that wanted to speak. One was Ingu's, which is the rune of it's actually called the hero rune, but it also represents almost like a pregnancy, right? That you're carrying something in you, and it may well be yourself that is working its way into full fruition. And the rune of progress and the rune of protection. So it seems like you are well positioned to grow into who you are truly going to become, and who you are truly going to become is not small.
Why, thank you. Thank you for the kind words.
Good luck.
What you both are doing is phenomenal. And what you do to inspire others is great. And there are really no words that I can use or say to get my message across to you. But the thing that comes through for me is love. And thank you both, gentlemen, for what you do.
Well, it's an honor to serve. So thanks for calling in.
Yes, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So we'll go to our next caller, which actually is showing as a name. Harmonic Vision. Are you there?
Oh, yeah, I am.
Would you like to ask for some?
Well, let's have. Would you like to share your name?
Oh yeah,
and where you're Skyping from?
I just thought of her as Harmonic.
My name is Karen Armstrong, and I'm calling in from Portland, Oregon.
Hi, Karen.
Hello.
Hi.
Karen. So, what would you like to ask us today?
Well, I've been thinking about that. My first question didn't have anything to do with relationships because I'm pretty clear on that. Without going into too much of a story, my house and the home that I've been in the last 12 or 13 years is in jeopardy, and I have this wonderful adventure to move someplace throughout the world that would be my spiritual home, where my work would really flourish, and so I would like to ask where that might be. I know that my spiritual home is really within, but I need some sort of grounded location to call home.
So is there any place in particular that you feel called to or that resonates for you that you think that might be?
Or you can, or maybe offer a short list.
Yeah, yeah.
Well, what I can do is I can tell you that if you take a pin and you put it on Portland, the best places for me to live are anywhere northeast or southwest from Portland. So some of the places that are in consideration is Maui. That's the number one consideration. That has been in my heart for quite a few years. I'm looking at Canada also. Areas in Canada, possibly the northeastern part of the United States, maybe the Midwest. Possibly Taos. So,
if I just looked at the ones that you've mentioned, the strongest one actually that came up is Taos.
Yeah.
And one reason is because the card that came up for that is the reversed devil. Ooh, doesn't that sound scary? But when you reverse the devil card, it represents freedom and liberation and the ability for us to both recognize the chains and burdens that we have put on ourselves, as well as our ability to lift those off of us rather than waiting for someone or something else to do that,
or thinking that someone or something else has greater power over us and our destiny than we do for ourselves.
Yeah. Well, am I making too much noise with the runes? I'm doing the rune casting.
But also that freedom and liberation. I think that Taos may hold something for you to finally free and liberate something within yourself, like the next phase of yourself, or to open up a new layer of yourself that will help you to then have a greater sense of where you need to go next. Of the other places that you pulled, I always pull a card at the end for or someplace else that hasn't been mentioned, like we just haven't narrowed in on where it needs to be yet. And that actually came up stronger, which is the Fool card, but it's encouraging you to be willing to take a chance and take a risk to go someplace that's completely unknown. When you first started asking this question, I was very surprised by the options that you came up with, because immediately what I was seeing was you going to someplace like a foreign country and moving someplace actually foreign. And that's, I think, part of the Fool card, which is the willingness to trust yourself to be able to make that happen and to be able to survive and thrive in a foreign place and a foreign culture, rather than staying too safe or comfortable because, you know, where you go speaks English or where you go has a familiar culture and way of doing things. So I don't know if you've ever considered going foreign besides Canada.
Well, a couple of things. Actually, where I was going to go in Canada was more Toronto, Montreal. They are a dual-speaking English and French-speaking country, and also I have opportunities to go to Scotland, Ireland area. But right now, I'm keeping a foreign country very, very open. I did not mention that earlier.
So when you said like Scotland or Ireland area, I separated it out and pulled cards for each of those. And the Ireland side of things came up with the Star card, which means here's my path. Here's the direction. Think of like the universal neon sign blinking, saying go this way, go this way, go this way. So I would encourage you to perhaps really research and pursue what Ireland has to offer you, or whatever that Ireland aspect is that you're referring to. Because that Star card is like one of the best. It's also about getting, it's like the wish upon a star. We're getting our wishes and hopes and dreams coming true. Of course, we want to make sure we're hoping for or wishing for what we really want, because we're likely to get it. But this would really point, and I think the Fool card comes in there. It says, take that chance, leap off that cliff, take that leap of faith, and go to some place really that may seem out of reach or seem very foreign. But that Ireland aspect with the Star card, it's like, this is like, go there, go there, go there kind of thing. So I'd really want you to consider that.
Thank you. I actually had a six-week round-trip ticket to Aberdeen, Scotland in September that I put on hold because of other things that came in that needed taken care of with regards to priorities in my life. And so definitely Ireland is calling me and has. My ancestors are there. So thank you.
You're welcome. And we'll see if what John has to say about
I'd like to talk to you about the Taos thing. Just so that you know, in September I am going to have a Vision Quest healing ceremony done in Taos, and I've had some of my students actually journey for me to find out where my next spiritual home is, and Taos has come up quite a few times. I grew up and was in Santa Fe, New Mexico for my formative years, but there were so many tragic things that happened to me and to my family that I have been very, very scared to go back there and to live on the land for fear that I would go back to an old way of life that I have let go of, or I would need to process even more of those memories. That is one reason why I'm going in September to have all that purged out of my body.
Right, and I think that that's going to be very key, and that's why Taos is coming up very strong. The Devil card reverse isn't necessarily about settling into some place versus it's some place you can go that's going to help free and open that aspect of yourself
right.
up. You're going to lay the burdens down. I feel like I'm going to sing a gospel song all of a sudden. But you're going to be able to kind of put that weight or burden or chain that you've been carrying from that past in your life down and done for good. And it's also probably going to open up and give you both clarity as well as feeling the freedom and the courage and trust and willingness in yourself and the universe to really go towards the place that is calling you, which to me would be Ireland. So the Taos experience, so the Taos experience is going to be really key for that, not necessarily about where you'll end up settling down, but it's going to be key for opening up that willingness and releasing any fear or anything that you may still carry that would prevent you from taking that kind of a leap. Okay?
Okay, and Maui just didn't even hit the radar screen.
Well, Maui was the reversed temperance card in this deck called Integration, and so I think it may be an extreme reaction in some way, or it just wouldn't quite flow together the way that you think it would. So maybe it's just a place to continue visiting rather than a place for you to consider settling down in.
Got it.
Yeah.
Thank you.
So, Karen, let me share with you what the runes offered. So I did the rune cast, and I apologize for the extra noise that caused. but they laid themselves out geographically, which I find very, very interesting and sweet. The rune that landed right, that is, you know, square on where you are, Portland, is the rune of movement. So it's time to move. Right.
Well, yeah, we've known that.
Right. Okay. So movement is indicated for Portland. The Eastern Canada was a rune of protection, a place where you would be protected. So that's a good thing, but it isn't necessarily something that you want your aspirations to be. Because while it's good to be protected, it's better to be strong enough that protection is sort of built in. The rune due north from Portland was the rune of Fehu, the rune of material possessions. I know you didn't mention anything north, but I just offer it because the runes offered it. Then we have the northwest of you, and to me that looks like Alaska, or even Japan or something like that, something far to the north and west, and that is the rune. That's the rune of communication, divine communication. So there may be an opportunity for you to learn something, vision quest something from the land. It struck me that a trip to Alaska might be good for you as a way of communing, deeply communing with nature. But now let me get to the last two. The rune to the south of you, which I interpret as Taos, is the rune Perth, of the rune of initiation, a hidden matter, going through something that you don't know. You know what initiations are like, I'm sure, and an initiation is waiting for you in Taos, and Maui is the rune, the blank rune. It's the rune of the void, and so as I see highlighted with respect to the rune Temperance reversed, there's no form there. So as a place to draw something out of the void, Maui might be good. But as a place of stability and grounding, seems like it's not necessarily the place to settle. So I think what I got from the runes was more a series of steps that you might consider as ways to find your way to your ultimate destination.
Mm-hmm. So hopefully that gave you a bit of food for thought as to where to consider to take your journey next in life?
Yes, it does.
Excellent.
Like I said, I'm just staying open and listening and waiting for waiting to feel where the energy is moving.
I think that when you go to Taos, you're going to get that clarity. You won't feel as if you're waiting. And if you stay open, it's going to give you the vision or the direction that you need to see.
Yeah, I think that's true, too. That's what the runes are indicating to me as well.
Great. Yeah. There's also a trip to Nepal scheduled for next year that is quite exciting. Pardon?
No, I just said, basically, I said, I was excited.
it's more of a spiritual journey going with somebody. So,
You know what, Karen? The Ansu's, the rune that I indicated for Alaska.
Yeah.
The Himalayas would do as well.
Yeah, I've got to get to the Himalayas. There's something there for me. So anyway, thank you so much. This has been a very amazing radio show. I'm starting to listen to it every Sunday. I really honor the service and the heart-centered and grounding information that you're giving to everybody. And so I'm happy to continue to support your work.
Thank you. Great. Thank you very much. Thanks for calling in.
Yeah, thank you very much.
Bye.
Bye.
So I think we have time for one more. As long as we're not long-winded, I think.
I see.
I know. And so area code 408 with the first three numbers 596. Are you there? We hear a baby talking. Are you there?
I hear somebody.
Hi, how are you doing? I didn't realize I was on the radio.
You are now.
You are. So can you tell us your name and where you're calling from?
Yes, my name is Delady, and I'm calling from the Northern Bay Area. And I don't want to take too much of your time because I'm hoping that you can get another call after me. But I was wondering if you could help me clear this veil with your guidance of the tarot. I've been asking to see clearly lately, and things have been kind of cloudy. So I'm wondering what kind of energy that is around me that I may not be aware of.
Okay. Can I ask really quick what the month and day of your birth is?
8/10.
All right. So the year card that you're in right now, which again goes birthday to birthday, so you will change in August. You're actually in a death year, and you know, don't panic when I say that. But a death year is a year of really being faced with and looking at what has come to an end, what do I need to shed and let go, what space do I need to be opening up for new things to come in. What has lived its lifespan. And it's a card of transformation and rebirth and coming out of the cocoon. And so part of it is kind of like finding your wings, you know, like the butterfly first coming out and finding your wings. So you may find that as you get closer to your birthday and then move into your next year, you will start to feel as if things are becoming clearer because you're kind of at the point of squeezing through the hole of the cocoon to come out of it and into the light. It's just like being born, you know, where you come through the birth canal and then out into the light. Start testing your wings. Start kind of seeing, where have I come to? What do I feel ready to do? And let me just flap here and flap there a little bit and see how that feels and where that starts to take you. And the card that I pulled to look at what may still be veiled, if you will, is the reversed Five of Cups. And this is a really nice card to get reversed because there is a sense that, like if you think of it as a card of clinging to the past, the reversal says that you're starting to move beyond what has happened to you in the past and has maybe kept you stuck in looking at things through the filter of what was. So like, for example, if somebody had their heart broken and they haven't had a relationship in 3 years because of that, the reversal of this card would say they finally have started to move past that and not assume everyone is going to break their heart or every relationship is going to end badly, so they can actually allow themselves to look at the glass half full, to look at possibility and have hope and look forward again rather than getting stuck or always looking backward and thinking that's how things are always going to be. So if you can work on releasing the past, like you can think of phrases with this card, you know, it's water under the bridge, let bygones be bygones. And to start looking forward and what you want to see coming into your life rather than looking backward at what you feel you need to get away from or leave behind, you'll start to have greater clarity, because it's almost like we obscure our own vision because we're standing with our back to what it is that's waiting for us to be seen. And if we just turn around and start looking at it rather than looking at where have I come from, what has happened before, then it's right. It's almost like it's right behind you. Just be willing to turn around rather than getting stuck in what has been. Is that making any sense to you?
Absolutely right. It resonates fully.
Okay.
Yeah.
So to expand on that, let's see what John has with the runes. The runes will cut through any veil. They're like, phew. They'll rip it. They'll just rip it. They don't even lift it. They just rip it out of the way. So tell us, John, what do the runes want to rip away from her view?
Well, okay, so the first rune that wanted to speak was the warrior. So this is a statement of discipline and focus and the willingness to apply force. It doesn't mean violence. It means intensity and focus. You know, being impeccable. So aspects of your life where you are not capable of being the warrior are demanding your attention. And the more you can be the warrior, the thinner that veil will get, the sooner that cloud will lift, and the clearer you will have the clearer access you will have to the divine inspiration that you're seeking. There is an indication of, you know, and this is going to sound a little contradictory, but there's a notion of the flow. Laguz is the rune of flow and, you know, the wateriness, the intuitive sense. So there's hand in hand with the warrior's discipline and focus is the requirement to sense the nature of the flow and move with it. And in particular, the rune that follows that is Raido, which is the rune of the journey. Now, you can think of this as the rune of the shamanic journey, or you can think of it as the rune of the physical journey, or everything in between. I think it's important, you know, what's important about the positioning of this rune is that it precedes the rune of divine communication. So we're talking about the warrior, the sense of flow, the journey, and then communion with the divine, communication with the divine, divine messages. And after Ansu's, the divine messages, we have the blank rune and Burkana, the rune of rebirth. So if you think about that, you know, the blank rune is going into the void and birth is coming out. And so your death year coming to a close in August is that going into the void and the opportunity to be reborn after that. So looking forward, it appears that you're close to breaking through. Focus on your strength, your discipline, and focus. Sense what's going on around you. Be prepared for the journey into whatever journey is presented, to receive your divine communication, and be okay with going into the void, going into the blackness, going into the emptiness, because from the emptiness comes rebirth. That's what the runes have for you.
Okay. Well, thank you both so much. I truly appreciate it, and it confirms some things that I've been feeling. So thank you so much for validating that death and rebirth cycle.
Great.
And
you're
the discipline and intuition that needs to go with it. Thank you.
All right. Well, so thanks for calling in. Yeah.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So I think that that's pretty much all the time we have today to take some calls. We want to thank everybody that did call in for some readings. We're always happy to both hear from people and have the opportunity to offer whatever guidance information there is for them so that you out there are able to be making better decisions and move forward in your life down a path and in a way that is in your greatest and best interest and in your highest good. I'd like to thank John for being here and bringing in some of that Norse energy. Norse combined with Celtic because of the Celtic shamanism side that he does. And hopefully...
It's been a pleasure. And Hi C, thank you for leading and guiding this experience for me and for our listeners.
Well, and we're very excited because this is our first call-in show like this to do readings and things. And if nothing else, we had pretty much no technical snafus and everything. So I think we're happy that
yeah,
everything
that
seemed
right.
to go smoothly. And we're appreciative to everyone that has been listening and that was willing to call in and to do this for us.
And, of course, if you have if any of you have further questions about the readings that we've offered or you'd like to get in touch with us, didn't have a chance to call in or didn't have a chance to be to ask your question on air, you know we're available and we are happy to serve.
And if you want to either contact us or if you want to find out more information about the show or listen back to an old show, there's many ways to do that. You can always come back to blogtalkradio.com/fireflywillowslive, and all of the previous shows are there in archive form that you can listen to. You can also go to our website, fireflywillows.com, which is where you can find archives of the show, plus more detailed information about each episode and episode notes from the shows that have information on guests that we interview, on books that we may refer to, and links to different things that are about that show and that episode.
And you can find contact information for both Hi C and myself there at fireflywillows.com.
Yes. And you can also, Firefly Willows Live is also available as a podcast on iTunes, so you can always go there and you can either download them or you can subscribe and it'll automatically download for you, so you can always hear our shows that way. Obviously not live, but you can always keep up and hear the shows that way, and that's free, so subscribing to a podcast in iTunes is free that way, so it's just another way for you to be able to keep up and regularly be able to listen. So hopefully you'll be joining us next week. Next week will be hosted by Mildred Lynn McDonald and her Healing Conversations shows. And there are plenty of other opportunities to call in for readings. Probably the fourth Sunday of each month will be this format with the live call-in show for readings and that kind of thing. So you can mark your calendar if you want to think about calling in again, or if we weren't able to get to you, or if you want to tell your friends. But the fourth Sunday of each month is going to have that opportunity for you to call in and get readings live on the air. So we would welcome you to do that or pass the word along, because we are obviously anxious and excited to be doing this for people. So thank you very much for having joined us today. We look forward to having you here to listen again next Sunday. Always every Sunday, 10:30 a.m. Pacific time at blogtalkradio.com/fireflywillowslive. And we will look forward to seeing you. Well, not seeing you, I suppose, but we'll look forward to hearing from you and talking to you next time. So thank you very much.
Have a wonderful Memorial Day weekend, folks.
Thank you for joining us for today's episode of Firefly Willows LIVE. We hope you enjoyed the show. Please join us next week when Mildred Lynn McDonald will be your host for Healing Conversations. Join her as she chats with Karen Brown, founding executive director of the Holistic Health Research Foundation of Canada, about her exciting new Go Green Inside program. If you've ever thought about engaging or even becoming a life coach, you'll love our chat with Newfoundland's Natalie Finley. A successful speech pathologist, Natalie leaped into life coaching with a passion. Listen as she entertains you with her personal journey and offers sage advice about pursuing a career change with a twist. Then we'll talk with Director of Career Services at Queen's University and author Kathy Keats about her book, Not for Sale. Kathy will inspire you with her fresh, innovative tips that show job searchers how to transcend the widely accepted truism that we need to sell ourselves. Next week's Firefly Willows LIVE Roundtable topic is Advocate or Activist? Are you selling out or living up to your potential when your voice counts? This is Deb Caracella. Please join us next Sunday morning at 10:30 a.m. Pacific Time on Firefly Willows LIVE, Blog Talk Radio.